Hey, everybody. Drew Remenda here. You're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA.
Hey, now, everybody. I almost want to do, like, you know, an Eminem, like, rap and just be like, knock, knock, the Sharks won. Everybody's going to, like, lose their, you know, stuff again. But that's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. After going 0-4 on the road trip, the Sharks have won a game. We're all very excited here tonight on a Sunday. With me, I am AJ underscore strong. With me is Eric Landy.
Hey AJ, what's up? How are you guys doing?
What's going on? Why do you look sunburnt? Your camera is
doing... I'm extra crispy.
You do look a little crispy. And on the well done side, we have Rocket Backhander.
Hello.
Why are you? She's creeping in the dark closet. Is what's going on with Rocket?
It's probably not dark. I can probably fix it. Who knows?
It's all good. So the Sharks have won a game. It happens from time to time, evidently. I know all of us are just kind of like, wait, what? But it has happened. The Sharks have won themselves a game. It took 5 games into their 5-game road trip for the Sharks to win a game. A couple interesting notes before we get into the first. First off, I want to thank everybody for watching. Do us a favor, subscribe, hit that smash the button, smash it. Just, you know, do it like 2 or 3 times and hit the notification bell, but subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check us out, SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, but there's also Twitter and Instagram, all the social media channels. Do us a favor, hit us up on those. And a couple quick things of note before we get into the first period leading into this one. The Montreal Canadiens, the Habitual, the Habs, if you will, had lost 4 in a row, but then won their last 2, coming into this one, beating the Rangers yesterday, whereas the Sharks got spanked yesterday. But Simic, let's give it up for Simic, getting his first start and actually looking pretty good. Timo Meier missing his 3rd straight in this game. And so let's get into the first period. The Sharks had lost 4 straight. Now, this was also reported during the game from Randy Hunt. The Sharks had a lengthy lunch meeting today. I don't know what that means, if that means that, like, somebody had to decide between club sandwiches or falafel, but the Sharks had themselves a lengthy meeting today after losing 4 straight. And in the first period, 2:55 in, Braun would pick a pass, get his first NHL goal of the season on a beautiful slapper versus Carey Price. This is a beautiful pickoff, Landy, by Braun versus Carey. Like, I haven't seen this Justin Braun in quite some time.
Yeah, I want to know who woke up and pissed in his Cheerios. Because
might have been Vlasic.
Maybe. But yeah, what a kick in the pants that was for those guys, you know, and maybe somebody called them out. Now, it was funny that you say a lunch meeting, because at the very end of the broadcast, Baker said, oh, it was a lengthy players meeting. And then he's like, it's a meeting of the minds. And it's like, Baker just spilled it. And then they pan over back to Brody, and it's like, during the players only meeting this morning. And it's like, you know, he's just kind of picking off what Baker was saying, but maybe that they got called out, you know, because Braun and Vlasic arguably was the worst pair the Sharks had
so far. Yeah. 28 in. Yeah. I think they definitely been one of the things that you could point at and go disappointing. Rocket. I mean, what do you think about, you know, the players only meeting? I mean, hey, they didn't lock PDB out of the dressing room. So,
yeah, I mean, call it what you want. Sorry, I was messing with my camera trying to get it. It's so dark in here. I don't think it worked. Call it what you want. You could call it a players meeting. You could call it a Dungeon Masters Tribal Council, man. You could. It It was a soiree. It was a get together. It was
Game of Thrones, baby.
Yeah, it was the Saratoga freaking wine mixer, man. Who gives a rat's ass what it was called? They got together and they maybe, you know, said some things that needed to be said, perhaps, and maybe they said some things that, you know, they didn't need to say, but should, I don't know, whatever. They did some stuff. They did some things. They said some stuff. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you're right. At least they didn't lock anybody out of a locker room. Like, they didn't do anything. Like, spill the beans in an Uber ride or anything. It just was a meeting. Ooh. And, you know, I'm glad it happened because, by God, this team has been awful.
Invoke the JFK, baby.
Mayor Quimby.
Yeah, Mayor Quimby. And Gen X already saying, hey, PDB has saved his job for one more game. You know, you might be right. If the Sharks had lost this game, I don't know if PDB would have been allowed on the flight home. That is something that we could, you know, in an alternate universe, we can discuss. So 255, Braun would pick up his first of the season at 850. So just a meager 6 minutes later, Riley would board Goodrow, called a cross check, looked more like a boarding call to me. But the Sharks would lose the face off in that one. And that was kind of the end all be all for that, because they really never got a shot on goal after that. After losing that face off, they had two shots on goal during that power play, but Montreal had three huge clears on that. And that's something, again, the Sharks need to pay attention to at 9:48. And I know what's this guy's name? Is it Chaput? I think is how they're pronouncing it. That's how I heard Randy pronouncing it. But I look at the spelling, Chaput. I just go kaput. That's what it looks like to me. But he's high sticks Couture for a minute 03 of 5-on-3 time, and Montreal would win that draw, the key draw. But the Sharks did get a couple decent chances, but still not enough. Shots on goal, 11, Montreal 8 after the first. But we have to call out Burns getting his fourth. A 5-on-3 on a beautiful pinch from Pavs and EK65. Shots aplenty on this one for a 5-on-4. Landy, you know, this is something that, you know me, I love to bang on the power play drum. But you have to say that that's the one thing over like the last 6-7 games where the Sharks have just looked awful. The one thing that you can kind of hang your hat on is the power plays actually look decent.
Yeah, the power play has looked surprisingly decent. I think that they finally got that good balance of how long Burns is going to be out and how long EK65 is going to be out. So I think it kind of goes a little bit like this. It's EK or Burns, depending upon who had their last shift. So they alternate between the two. And then at the last 30 seconds of the power play, they bring them both on and they try and do that OV, that OV-esque setup and slapper. So I think that they've got a good rhythm now of how it's supposed to be. I really like LeBanc on that first unit. For whatever reason, he just kind of sees that extra pass that normally another guy doesn't see. And that's his greatest asset, is LeBanc's asset is vision. Right. So if you can put him in a spot where he can utilize that, say on the power play, he's going to do really well.
Yeah. Well, I'm down with that. Just 4 minutes later, the Sharks would get called for what Shalana Goldman has trademarked as Hella Men, also known as Too Many Men on the Ice, but Hella Mans, Hella Mans on the ice. And I think for probably like the 8th or 10th time this season, it seems, seems to be something that the Sharks will probably work on is their transition. They keep getting called for too many men. But of course, LeBanc, because he's the only one that evidently can serve those penalties, he sits in the box. And during this, a broken stick, the top like foot of Martin Jones' stick just somehow gets sawed off on a shot, but a broken stick. So for like a minute 45, the top foot of Martin Jones' stick is missing, yet he still was able to come up with all the saves. But to finish off this first period, both teams with a lot of looks. To me, Simic looked really good. Sorensen got robbed, and the Milkman did miss a wide open net. But after one period, Rocket, you have to sit there and go, well, a 2-0, and let's be honest, when was the last time the Sharks like went into an intermission with a lead? But right. A 2-goal lead after two or after one period, you have to go, I feel better than I normally do.
No, not with this team. As many games I've watched them notch up, you know, a 3-0 lead in the first and then have that lead get three, you know, just diminished into nothing. And then see it, the score 3-3. Oh, 4-3. Oops. It, yeah, this team has not failed to amaze me insofar as they find new and interesting ways to creatively break my goddamn heart every time I watch them. So, yeah, great. You won a game, Sharks, but I fail to be impressed by it. You want to know why? Because Montreal was on the second night of a back-to-back, too.
That's true.
So it's kind of like we had to get the cat to come and play with our food until it was tired. And then give it to us for us to go in and kill it. And, oh, look at us. Aren't we big, mighty hunters?
Hey, now.
Yeah, I'm just not impressed. I'm sorry. I should be, but I'm not.
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, the Sharks beat up on a team that is very, you know, like middle to bottom of the pack in the Eastern Conference. Again, they had lost, I believe, four in a row. Lost five in a row, then beat the Rangers yesterday. Again, beating the Rangers is not the biggest thing, you know, to like beat your chest about. So, yeah, I think this might have been one of those ones where you like looked at it on paper a couple weeks and you go, yeah, the Sharks should easily win this. And I wouldn't say they easily won it, but they did win it kind of in the fashion that we would expect them to win it. Going into the second period, defenseman Petry would bury some garbage with the 17th shot on goal for the Canadiens to get them on the board, make the game 2-1. But almost 4 minutes later, Pavelski would get his 17th on Burns' 25th assist, which I think is pretty cool, and Couture's 18th assist. The Pavelski shot. I mean, Landy, dude, when do we get to the point where we stop calling it Ovechkin's office and start calling it, like, you know, Pavs's garage? Right.
Look, I mean, Burns to Joe, I mean, and, you know, Logan was in on that play as well. They played quite well tonight. You know, I really liked the way Hurdle was playing. I liked the way that Joe was playing, and I liked the way Couture was playing. It almost seemed like that was a forward line that had, you know, long lost, reunited, so to speak. For whatever reason, I think Couture and Pavs have a similar chemistry from all those years being on the power play together, you know? So, you know, I like that move to put him up there, and you figure, well, okay, LeBanc has kind of been kind of crappy there. You know, Meyer is out. So how about have a guy who's, you know, the next hottest forward and put him on, you know, your hottest duo of, you know, Couture and Hurdle and try it out.
I'm right there with you. This, it feels like this is the second game in a row where Burns has kind of like looked one way and then passed it the other way. And Burns or Pavelski seems to be the recipient every time. It seems like this might be something they're working on in practice, where I'm going to look you off. I'm going to make everybody look this way, thinking that I might like put the shot on net, or I might go, you know, wide right, but instead I'm going to slide it through a couple of your players, put it right on Pavelski's tape. I don't know. That's just the way that it feels. A minute later, Weber would interfere with Donskoy. The Sharks would win the faceoff and then get way too pass happy. Like their power play. I mean, Brent Burns did get a power play goal tonight. And again, that is the one thing that you can kind of like hang your hat on. The power play over the last six games has been much, much better. Something that you can count on. The Sharks got some great chances. But is it great without scoring? I don't know. But 18 seconds left. The Sharks will lose the faceoff. Montreal will get called for delay of game. 200 feet away. I mean, Rocket, when was the last time you saw a team get called for a delay of game by putting the puck over the net 200 feet away from their own net?
It's one hell of a shot.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that actually takes some skill.
Dude, this is some Christian Ehrhoff shit right here.
Yeah. Next level.
Right?
But
I think if you tried to do that on purpose, you couldn't.
Yeah, right?
Hey, now. The Sharks would get 5-on-3 for 12 seconds. Nothing happened. Pavs would get cross-checked. Of course, no call. But after that period of the second, Sharks shots on goal 11, Montreal 10. And I have a couple other notes that I'm going to get into a little bit later, because I actually have a bone to pick with Baker and Hahn that we'll get into. But in the third period, there would be no scoring. However, Simic would try all he could to put Gallagher into a different zip code.
Yeah,
and you have to respect what Simic did, being that this was his first NHL game. And this, you know, 28 games in, he's finally getting a look. And, you know, this was something that we talked about after last game. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that Joakim Ryan got like 16 minutes of ice time yesterday and was literally kind of like, who? So it was really nice to see Simic finally get in and make a difference. I'm sorry. I felt like Simic made more of a difference in this game than Joakim Ryan has in the last three, Rocket.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you there. And a lot of people, including myself, feel that sometimes if Burns has a bad game, then Burns' D partner is the one that ends up getting benched or traded or moved around or anything. So it's nice to see Simic get a chance out there for sure, but it's like, if Burns had a bad game, would he go straight back up? Or
I actually want to challenge that. And the reason why
it's time for the false dichotomy. Here we go.
Here we go.
Well, no, not that it's a false dichotomy, but
go ahead.
Okay. When you play with Brent Burns, right? I think the objective is just don't screw up, right? Just stay at home defensively, you know, keep your house in order and, you know, play a quiet game. That's
just win the game.
Right. Just win the game. So Simic not only did that, but he also played a physical presence that brought the team into it, which is a little different, because Joakim Ryan, while he's a above average defender,
he's not physical.
Yeah, he's got size, but not physical. Exactly.
I don't know that Joakim has that much size. I think Simic is a bigger guy.
Well, maybe Burnsy just needs a bigger player with him then, you know, somebody who can, you know, kind of throw his weight around a little bit more.
Well, I mean, we might be used to, you know, going back to the day, you know, they might not have won the most amount of games, but I think there's a group of us, me and Landy and some other people, that are used to, I don't know if I should say used to, but just really had a good time watching the play of guys like Owen Nolan, Ryan Clough, Kyle McLaren, Douglas Murray.
Yeah. And when Dougie Murray and Danny Boyle played together, right? Dougie laid the body out and Dan was able to kind of skate around, do his thing.
Yeah. Those are and I think it actually, you know, if you go way back in the day, it actually kind of started like, I want to say like 99, 2000 with, Brian Marchment. I mean, there were literally, when the Sharks got Brian Marchment, it was a case of Andy Mann saying, LOL, AJ, Simic and Ryan are both 5'11. Simic is 200 pounds while Ryan is listed as 185. Neither is that big. Yeah, but you know what, Andy? Dude, you know how much I appreciate the fact that you bring the stats in. But again, I go back to something that was said in the last post game, which is it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. And I will always take, you know, I'll take a smaller guy who is just ready to go at a moment's notice versus like the 6'4", 240 guy who will just kind of, you know, Wrath-G it up.
And
did I really call Ratchy into this?
And I think that that's what they envisioned, you know, putting Brendan Dillon along with EK65, right? Because you've got a guy who's a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical, can kind of move some bodies out and let, you know, Eric Carlson do his thing. It's kind of, you know, it's a la Lidstrom and what the hell?
Chelios?
Lidstrom and Cronwall, when those two were together, you know, you had the battering ram guy in Cronwall, and you had Lidstrom just able to do whatever he wanted. But yeah, Chelios and Lidstrom before that.
Yeah. Rob Iman said, you know, fighting is on its way out in hockey. No one's talking about fighting. We're just talking about laying out a good, solid, clean hit. And that was the thing, again, going back to what I was talking about. You look at like 99-2000. Dude, when Brian Marchment went onto the ice, there were members of the opposing team that were aware of when Mush was out there. Mm-hmm. And that when you have that kind of a reputation, that makes guys think twice. And the Sharks haven't had a guy like that in quite some time. Whether you want to, you know, evoke Ryan Clough, Owen Nolan, Scott Parker, I mean, take your pick. But the Sharks,
Scott Thornton.
Scott Thornton to a certain extent. Yes. I mean, and that was, I mean, Nicholas Sundstrom, Scott Thornton, Mike Ricci. I mean, one of the best third lines ever in hockey. But I digress. We should get back into the game that was played tonight. You know, we can spin into a circle all 20 ways from some Sunday, but, Martin Jones, for as much shit as he has caught over the last 5, 6, 7 games, Martin Jones did have himself a night. He, you know, I'm looking at the stats right now. Canadians put up 41 shots on goal. Martin Jones stopped 40 of them. And it felt like out of those 40 shots Martin Jones stopped, it felt like 20 of them came in the third period, Rocket. Martin Jones was stopping a lot of shots because, of course, you know, the Canadians at that point, they're down 3-1 coming into the third. You're going to panic. You're going to start putting stuff on net. Rocket, I mean, Martin Jones, hello.
Yeah, right. He looked, I won't say that he looked more focused than normal. I will say that he seemed to have great vision of the puck tonight. And if that was through his ability to, I don't know, magically find the puck just by feel with his ESP, that's rad. But if it also has something to do with, like, they know where they're going to have the defenders and other people push people to a particular spot in order for Martin Jones to get a better view on things, and this has been discussed or whatever in coaching, hey, job well done, guys.
You know what? It's crazy how good this team looks when it's got some good goaltending, right? I mean, he posted a .976 tonight, which is great. I mean, this was classic Sharks hockey where they could take those high danger chances, kind of funnel those other, you know, the chances opposing them into kind of more medium danger shots. They had a couple high danger, but definitely reduced down quite a bit. And then you get par goaltending, hey, that's the recipe for how the team is going to do well in their defensive structure. So, you know, good to see Jones play big, you know, kind of cutting down those corners, not shrugging the shoulders. Maybe somebody chewed him out in the players' meeting, or, you know, maybe they chewed out the defense as a whole. But, you know, I think Martin Jones played like he had a matchlet under his ass. Excuse me.
Yeah, no, that's good. You can Venmo $1 to me for the swear jar. You know, but this is something funny that has just come up over the last couple of weeks. We've seen LA replace their coach. We've seen T-Mac in Edmonton get the Spanish Archer. Quinville out. When does it come to the point, and this is something that shameless plug, talked to Drew Remenda about a week and a half or so ago before the show, actually 12 hours before T-Mac got the Spanish Archer. And I asked him, when does it finally become, you know, that it's that you hang it on the coach? Because, you know, you sit there and you go, fire the coach, because that's the easy scapegoat. And you see a lot of pushback from that. Well, it's not the coach that's skating out there. It's not the coach that is not skating correctly and blah, blah, blah. Okay, and I get that, but it does come down to a certain point where either the coach has lost the room, they're not responding, whatever it is. When does it come to that point where it is on the coach? And it's funny that a lot of people can't answer that, but I will say Drew Remenda's point for that was when the message is gone, when nobody is listening. And I'll tell you, you look at Couture post game a couple games ago, because he was not on the post game yesterday, but a couple of games ago, you know, he sat there. His quote was, "It takes time to gel. It doesn't take 26 games."
Right, and subtle message, you know.
And I felt like that as well. And tonight, now here's the fun thing, Rocket, is coming into tonight, we know PDB loves his blender, and tonight the blender was full stream. This might have been the first game ever for the Sharks. Somebody jot this one down, where Couture was quote unquote the top line center, because tonight it was an interesting line jumble. For the top line, you had Couture is the pivot between Hurdle and Pavs, which I think was shocking. I think you would have thought that Pavelski would have been a center, but he wasn't. Couture, Hurdle, and Pavs. Second line, Suomela. Suomela centering the second line between Donskoy and Kane. Jumbo between Sorensen and LeBanc on the third line. And then Goodrow with Radil and Melker. That, my friend, is interesting. I'm not shocked at all, Rocket, by Couture centering the top line. I'm pretty goddamn shocked about Suomela centering the second line, especially considering that he's been like scratched twice in the last 12 games.
I don't know, but you just said that Pete loves his line blender, and maybe this is all part of the line blender formula. You know, it's
it's all part of the plan.
Yeah, yep. I go back to that whole thing about planetary wobble. You know, you got to pull back and see that it's all part of it's working. Well, hold on. Man.
Well, who's that rapper? What's that song? Oh, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby.
Yeah, right.
I had to have fun with that, Rock. Go ahead.
Way too old. I don't know what this is. No, I got no problems with it. Pete's trying to create mismatches out there against another team, and they're desperate for a victory. So he's going to be like real aggressive with it. And hey, it paid off this time. So big deal.
All right. I'm down with that. But I have to play it. I have to play it.
That's fine. This is
right? Everybody. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Jones kicked it, but here we go. Come on.
Oh, boy.
That's what I'm saying. All right. We had to throw the wobble, baby. But, okay, I don't even know how to turn this off now. Okay, there it goes. Anyway. So I did think that Jones had a very good game. Again, we get into the stats, and let's get into those. The Canadians, 41 shots. Jones stopped 40 of them. This made you feel like this could be a bounce back for Jones. Now, remember, the Sharks, they got a couple days off. You know, they're flying back tonight, you would assume. Monday and Tuesday off. Then they get Wednesday versus Carolina. and then they're on the road. Dallas, what's with the like eight back to backs over the course of like 12 days? What the hell's going on with that? But anyway, and the fact one home game over the course of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they play one home game over 7 games. Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Was there a lot of concerts at SAP or something during this time? Maybe
No, there were, but let's be honest. A lot of these concerts, those are probably booked after the NHL schedule is already announced. So,
yeah.
Felix, stop you with the copyright strike. Stop it. But yeah, so the Sharks get a couple days off before Carolina on Wednesday. Carolina not exactly lighting the world on fire, but following that, again, back to back next Friday and Saturday at Dallas, at Arizona. Both of those games could be fun, especially Arizona, to be honest with you, because that's another one of those teams that is kind of the Forrest Gump of hockey. You never know what you're going to get. But let's wrap this one up. Rocket, I mean, do you think that, again, we got a couple days before the Sharks are at home versus Carolina finishing off this 5-game road trip? We saw the PDB line blender. We saw Simic getting his first game of the season. What do you expect at home versus Carolina? I mean, do you think Simic, it just seems like PDB, I'm sorry, I'm just, because PDB seems like one of those guys where it's like he finds something that works for 10 minutes and he goes, yeah, let's just keep doing that. So let's see if Simic will go on Wednesday. And of course, Timo Meier tonight missed his third straight. We'll see if we get Timo back on Wednesday. But what do you look for line-wise and how the matchups are going to roll versus Carolina, Rock?
Carolina's in good spirits this year. Even though they're not the most powerful team out there, they don't suck. So I don't know what to expect. I think that PDB is probably going to stay fast and maybe just a little physical, but not, you know, not laying the body hard every single chance they can. So maybe Simic sits this one out.
See, that would bum me out that we just, you know, got rotated him into the lineup, and to me has like shown more in one night than Heed and Ryan have shown over the last 5. Eric,
yeah, no, I totally agree, and I think
he showed enough that you roll him one more time.
Oh, of course. And, you know, PDB is a creature of habit. You know, he likes to roll what works. So he's going to put Simic out there again until it fails, and then he's going to change another piece. But I thought it was interesting you brought up that Couture, you know, centered the first line, basically. And you know what? It's time to pass the mantle on. You know, Logan's ready for, you know, the number one line. And you put the number one line winger in, you know, Pavelski, and you put, you know, I guess that makes Hurdle another number one winger, you know, but whatever. I think we all saw Logan as the heir apparent to the first line center role, especially now that, you know, Tavares wasn't going to come. And it was good to see him actually kind of roll with it. I liked Suomela's game with Kane and Donskoy. I felt Donskoy played a good game. I'm still looking for Kane. He had a couple shots here and there, but a guy that really needs to kind of snap out of whatever's ailing him. And then Thornton looked really good with Sorensen and with LeBanc. And
Thornton has looked good with Sorensen ever since he's been back.
Yeah, and so. And I like LeBanc up there too, because basically you've got two really creative guys able to kind of play off each other and then have like the little battering ram shooter in Sorensen.
But that's the whole thing, I think somebody needs to tell LeBanc to be a little more shot happy when he's with Thornton. I think sometimes I think LeBanc kind of is like the Thornton Jr. when it comes he gets a little too pass happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, I think you've also seen Jumbo shoot a little bit more, though, right? And that's kind of interesting.
Potentially. But I do remember at least once yesterday, and well, not so much tonight, but I remember very specifically yesterday, Jumbo getting low and looking for a pass when he had a beautiful shot lane. And I just screaming my head off going, what are you passing that for? Shoot the freaking puck. But anyway, I digress. Hold on. AJ Bobblehead Knight has a mic in one hand and a ballast point in the other. Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought I saw something on the chat about my microphone. And AJ syncs again. So I guess my microphone is, my audio is synced back up. If there was a problem, I apologize. So with that, let's move on. The Sharks have picked up a win, right? We picked up a win. Ay. And what
Matt Webb Dev in the chat says, if we bench Kevin, who would serve the bench miners?
Yeah, he's got a great point.
It's a very solid point there.
And then, I don't know. Who would you go with that at that point? Would it be like Goodrow?
I would say Milker at this point.
As if. Are you kidding me? The Swiss Army knife that PDP loves. Of course he's not gonna put him in the box because he's gonna want to put him on the number one line again.
Yeah, so he can be just as ineffective. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not wrong. Can we at least pour one out for the fact that the Sharks actually scored 2 5-on-5 goals tonight? And they weren't, neither of them were scored by Goodrow or Melker Carlson. We got the one by Braun and one by Pavelski. So you can pour one out for that. So the Sharks are off for the next 2 days. Don't play again until Wednesday versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina Hurricanes, not exactly lighting the world on fire. And you know what? That's probably the kind of team that the Sharks need to face right now, if you're honest. But looking it up on the standings, Carolina, fifth in the Metro Division, 12-9-4. Their last game was an overtime loss, but their last 10, 6-2-2. Now, the good thing about this is they've got a winning record at home, but they are 5-5-1 away. So for the Sharks, that probably helps things since the Sharks are 8-3-2 at home. And the Sharks, because of today's victory versus the Canadiens, have fought their way back into a playoff spot. So with that, I think we can probably wrap this up. But, oh, no, wait, here we go. I'm surprised we haven't seen it in the chat, but it is time.
No.
You're not ready for it?
We're ready.
I feel like I'm ready for it. Let's go.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
And so we will look at what else happened tonight in the NHL. The Anaheim Ducks just slowly but surely just keep clawing back. The Ducks picking up a win in the nation's capital. Ryan Miller, of all people, not Gibson, bizarrely enough, picking up the victory. Getzlaf, getting one more goal than hairs he has on his head tonight to start things off. right? Cogliano, Raquel, Aberg picks up two. Lindholm, conversely for the Caps, you get Backstrom, Stevenson, Wilson, Kuznetsov, and Dowd. 6-5, Ducks over Caps in Madison Square Garden, the most beautiful venue ever. Jets 4-3 over the Rags. Hellebuck getting the win. Lundqvist getting the loss. No biggie with the goal scorers there. In Chicago, Calgary would be victorious over the Blackhawks 3-2. Smith gets the winner. Noted Sharks killer. Mark Smith getting the victory over Corey Crawford. And finally, the Avalanche shutting out the Red Wings 2-0. Varlamov getting the victory. Bernier, former LA King, Jonathan Bernier getting the loss in that one because the Red Wings were unable to score. There you go. That's your wraparound. What the hell am I looking at here? And so... that's our Sunday night. And if you want to, and so we're about to sign off just for you people, because the Carolina Hurricanes, who the Sharks are about to face 3 days from now, are about to face the LA Kings. So we're going to sign off now and allow you to enjoy that game, Carolina versus LA. So we're going to do you all a favor. One other thing I should announce. Last week's Pucknologists and last week's After Dark, I announced that if you went on iTunes and left us a review, again, it didn't have to be a kiss-ass review, as long as it was honest. You know, if you went on there and said something silly like, you know, I really like you guys, but Rocket's blonde hair is annoying. Well, Rocket doesn't have blonde hair, so that would be a fake article.
But it's in a bag somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, as long as you left a honest review, I was happy with that. And you know what? We found an honest review among the people who did. And if you haven't left us a review on iTunes, please still go do, because we're going to do some more giveaways. But we did find one person for the giveaway, and it will be announced tomorrow on the Pucknologists. So if you were part of that, go listen. So with that, we will see you after dark, people, following the Carolina Hurricanes. We will see you Pucknologists people tomorrow evening. And so with that, Landy, your final thoughts and where the people can find you on the social.
PDB staves off execution one game, maybe, perhaps? No. I feel like the team...
I don't think you're wrong, my friend.
I think that the Sharks played a really good game. I love the goaltending, and the defense really stepped up tonight. I think, you know what, try and keep the same game plan going on and just hope that the good Martin Jones shows up. As for where you can find me on all the social media garbage using my first name, Eric, E-R-I-K. My last name, Landy, L-A-N-D-I. Find me.
And hold on. Oh, okay. I went to look at Rocket. And I'm like, where'd Rocket go? And it's, oh, she's hiding behind a pillow. Oh, okay. Anyway. So I need to throw it over to Rocket, but she seems to not want to be involved right now.
No, I'm just hiding my shame. hiding my shame.
You're going to need a bigger pillow.
Yeah. I'll be right back. Yes. Oh, final thoughts on where the people can find me? Okay, final thoughts on this team. Man, I still don't have faith in this team because they could just show up on, what, Wednesday and be complete hot garbage again. It's a possibility. I think whatever issues this team has, they still have. I don't think they were just fixed with a meeting with the head coach and a meeting with the general manager. I mean, yeah, I think that having a meeting with Doug definitely sets a tone and should serve as a huge red flag to these guys.
He had to use it.
I did. It's a very Rocket sounder.
You know, truth is out there.
Hey, now.
So I think that they still have their issues, whether or not they'll be able to work them out in time to show up with a quality on ice performance. Hey, remains to be seen, but I'll watch the game as a Sharks fan because I have a lot of teal stuff at this point. I'm just in it, you know, I can't back out. So my name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on Twitter, capital R, little capital B, ooh, little Ackhander 76, R Backhander 76, tweeting about life, Sharks, Nashville, crap, more crap, hockey, crappy hockey, you know. And also taking photographs over on Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word on Instagram. AJ.
So the Sharks finish up their 5-game roadie. They come home, face Carolina on Wednesday. They get yet another back-to-back on the road at Dallas and Arizona. Come home for two versus Jersey and Dallas. And then... back on the road. So four of the next six after Carolina will be back on the road. Very quirky schedule. But Figure it out, boys. If today's closed door meeting or whatever it was, some sort of like brunch get together, if that was the thing that worked for you, well, then, you know, I'm just saying,
way to keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, just continue doing those meetings if that's going to work for you. But, you know, figured out this team is too talented on paper to be at this spot, like fighting for a playoff spot, you know, third in the Pacific Division right now. It's not good. And if Vegas wins one more game and you lose another, boom, you're back out of the playoff picture. So figure it out between now and the end of this month. And the best part of this, you have some good games coming up that are in division. I mean, between now and the end of the month, you're going to play Arizona. You're going to play LA. You're going to play Arizona again. You're going to play Anaheim. You're going to play Edmonton. You're going to play Calgary. These are key games. So figure it out, boys. With that, I am AJ_Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Also throwing up some stuff for Teal Town USA on the gram. So with that, thank you very much for joining us. We do this after every single Sharks game. And it's not just the three of us. If you like watch this and went, you know what, I really like Landy and Rocket, but that AJ is a total douche, that's fine. Because you watch it through.
I wrote that.
See? And so, you know, you can watch this after Carolina. I won't be on, but Rocket and Landy and somebody else could be on. So you never know what's going to happen here.
Life but, is like a box of chocolates. You never know which one you're going to get.
That's all I'm saying. So if you enjoyed it, do us a favor. Tell a friend, share the story, subscribe on YouTube, hit the notification bell, subscribe to Teal Town USA on Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, all the social media channels. We really appreciate it. And again, leave us a hit on iTunes. So with that, keep it real. You know, I got to fill in. I just can't do it. Dude, Puck Guy has so much conviction doing this, and it's hard for me to pull it off. So maybe I need a little background music. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I need a little background music. So,
knock, it's Teal again, telling you to keep it real again.
Oh, there you go. Rocket just like laid it out there. So, oh, and I didn't do this one yet just to piss off everybody.
I think the AJ soundboard bingo is done.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please come and claim your bingo prize.
There you go. Keep it real. Keep it teal. And keep it real, Teal. And if you aren't able to keep it real, Teal.
Oh, good for you.
Good night, everyone.